Right, just going to fade that one right the way down. Now, my next guest is probably one of the most successful stand-up comics in the UK. He's from Devon. He's been making people laugh on TV, on cassette, CD, DVD, and he's sell out live shows for years, and he is the one and only Jethro. Are you there?
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you ever so much for talking to us. You made it home then?
I just got home now. We was way up in... where was the last night? You forget, you know, you do that much. Where was I last night? Let me have a think. Oh, up in Stamford. Up in Lincolnshire.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, before we talk about the live shows, because I know you've got one coming up in our area we would talk about.
Where's that one, Michelle?
It's going to be, you're playing in Southend Cliffs Pavilion.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
That's in April, on the 9th of April. You grew up in Devon. Did you come
I was born in Cornwall, about a mile from Land's End, right at the very, very end.
Oh, right.
And I live in Devon now, because Cornwall is a very long county, and doing the travelling that I do, to have to go up and down Cornwall twice every trip would be too much. So I moved up closer to the border, really.
Oh, right.
I'm a Cornishman. I mean, where I was born, you can see the Atlantic on a clear day, and on a rough day, you're in it. You know, exactly.
I was going to ask, did you come from a showbiz background at all? Were your family involved in showbiz?
My father was a brilliant musician. He formed and conducted a choir in Cornwall for years and years. Very, very, very talented musician. Never trained, it's just a natural talent.
Yeah.
He had more talent than any of the boys. I'm one of four boys.
Mm.
They could all sing, but their father had a greater talent than any of us, really.
Oh, and you're the youngest, are
I'm
you?
I'm the baby, yeah.
Yeah, it's good being the baby.
And I'm very old now. I don't buy green bananas anymore, anyway.
When did you first realise that you were funny?
By accident, really, Michelle. I used to sing and play the guitar badly in the pubs, and they found there would be more people would turn up if they didn't advertise me. It was one of them. You know? One night I ran out of voice, and everybody knows a few jokes, don't they? And,
yeah.
And I told a few jokes, and that was all right. And it went all right, really. Everybody knows a few, and the landlord told me off. He said, I don't want jokes in here. I'm just going to pay you to sing background music. So the following week when I got there, there was a nice little crowd, and I sung a couple of folk songs, and this audience seemed strange. They were looking at me, which they never did look at me.
Mm.
And then somebody said, let's have some jokes. And I thought, surely them come here to hear the jokes. And I told them everything I could remember, even as a kid.
Mm.
You know, and that week, I thought, I wonder. And I went out and I asked everybody I knew, do you know any jokes? Rung friends and said, do you know any jokes? And I had hundreds, and I had them all written on a piece of paper and stuck on top of my guitar. And I thought, if there's anybody there next week, I got hundreds of jokes now.
Yeah.
And I got there the next week. It was absolutely packed.
Mm.
Absolutely packed. So it went in 3 weeks. And then he sacked me for telling jokes, but it was too late. I was already got the buzz for telling jokes.
Now, it says here, I've had a look round on the internet for a little bit of information. It's very difficult to find information on you, actually. But it says here, you are good with wood, as you were a carpenter.
I was a carpenter, yeah.
Yeah.
Served my time as a carpenter. Used to serve 5 years in those days, and then you come out a tradesman, you know.
Yeah.
And whether I completed the 5 years, I'm not quite sure. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I still do a fair bit of carpentry around home. Yeah, I still do it.
And what comics made you laugh when you were growing up? Who were the comics
looked
up to?
I love nonsense comics. I loved Les Dawson. I loved Tommy Clumber. I loved Norman Collier.
Mm.
Nonsense people made me laugh. I love the two Ronnies when they do the nonsense thing with the dance, with the Morris dances. All that sort of rubbish. I just love it.
Yeah.
And nonsense makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, someone... stories that are complete nonsense. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
When Robin Hood was dying, he was lying in the bed, and he said to Little John, he said, go and get my finest longbow and my straightest arrow. And he brought it back to him. He said, now open the window. He said, I shan't see daylight tomorrow. This is my last few hours. He said, if I got enough strength left in my body, I'm going to pull the bow back one more time, fire the arrow through the window, and where the arrow landed, that's where I want to be buried. And they buried him on top of the wardrobe, you know. Absolute rubbish. I love rubbish. And that fellow that was stranded in the Sahara Desert, and he wandered aimlessly for 6 days, and he said, well, I'm going to die. And he woke up one morning, and he saw a man sitting on a sand dune about 3 miles away. He said, I'll head for him. He may be able to help me. And eventually got there, and when he got up to him, it was an Eskimo, one of those great big furry coats on and a hood, and he was looking out between all this fur, and he said to the Eskimo, He said, can you help me? He said, I'm lost. And the Eskimo said, you're lost.
Very good.
Just nonsense. Nonsense makes me laugh.
But when you do, how do you prepare for a gig? I mean, do you have to sit there and write things, or do you get a lot of things come into your head when you're on stage?
Oh, you get on the roll. Sometimes I'm a stranger, and I think, well, I'm going out now to a lot of people. What am I going to tell them? And it's like as a shudder comes down. I'm not allowed to think. I go and say, what am I going to tell them? I got nothing in my head. And as soon as I get there,
yeah,
it happens.
Mm.
One day it won't happen, and then I shall jump in the car and go home and stay home. I'm always ready for it anyway, Michelle.
You've always got the car running outside.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
December 2001, you appeared in front of the Queen at the Royal Variety Show.
Yeah.
How did that go for you? Because I know I've listened to your CD. My dad was an absolute fan of yours.
Yeah.
He went to see you live.
I entertained the Queen before in a private show in the Rundlebar, Ascot, when the late Princess Margaret was there as well then. And that was frightening because there was only about 20 people.
Yeah.
And I had to be lily white clean, and I, you know, otherwise you could have ended up on the tower, in the tower, couldn't you? And that did frighten me a lot because there I was from St. Burien, just a farm worker's son, and now I've got the Queen of England and her sister about 3 foot away listening to me, and God, that did test you, you know?
Yeah.
And I did tell the Queen that when I was a young boy, I said my father come from a very poor family in Cornwall, and my father couldn't afford a school uniform for me. All the other kids had school uniforms, but he couldn't afford that, and used to buy all my school clothes from the Army and Navy surplus stores. And I said, you can't imagine the embarrassment for your Majesty when I was 11 going to school dressed as a Japanese admiral. And bless her, she said, oh, that caught her funny. But she talked to me after, and she was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
It made me feel really at ease. Absolutely brilliant.
Your other skill, now I read this could be true, or it could be somebody writing lies. Are you a marksman?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, I shot clay pigeon all my life.
All right.
Yeah, all my life. I still do. I don't shoot as well because I can't see as well as I used to, but occasionally I went out last Saturday, and I beat them all last Saturday, but that was a rarity. Didn't often I do that, but then they said, why did you shoot so well? And I said, well, never trust an old butcher. it just came right for me on the day, and I could see them, I suppose, but that don't happen very often now. I got to take, I stand a long way down the list now.
You've got the best of both worlds because you're very successful in showbiz, but you keep yourself out of the limelight. How do you do that?
Well,
it's
called having your cake and eating it. Really.
Yeah.
I've never been a showbiz man, Michelle. You know, it don't appeal to me. I've done these. I mean, when I did the Royal Variety Show, by the time they got to the after show party, I'd gone through Bristol. I was going home. It's all nonsense. We all know it's nonsense, isn't it? It's all make-believe stuff. I just heard too much of it, I think. Now you never believe your own publicity, they used to say.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're okay.
I think if you've got your family and your friends, they keep your feet on the ground, don't they?
The trouble is, you can't... If you get too big a face, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. Because you get pestered to death. And I'm just a bit recluse now, because I won't go to a lot of places. And if you do, and people, you know, some people do give you problems, and what happens then, you become rude and say, look, mate, I don't want to do that. So rather than that happen, I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know, after the show, I'll go out and see the people before the show, go out in the theatre and speak to as many as I can, and go up the bar, and I don't play the beat that side, and at half time I'm out and have a few photographs with anybody, and I love that.
Yeah.
But then when I finish, I want to go home then.
Yeah.
You know, which is fair enough.
What could the audience expect from this tour?
Well, I wouldn't know yet, so I can't tell them. I mean, last night, with the boys on the side of the stage last night, were saying, where did that come from? I said, I don't know. I used to do that 30 years ago, and it just came to my head, and I thought I'd tell them.
I was going to say, my dad, as I mentioned earlier, my dad, he passed away last year, but he was absolutely, if he would have been here today, because he went to see you, had all your CDs, even back to the days when you were on cassette, and he went with my sister to see one of your shows, and she thought he was going to have a fit. He was laughing so much, and I've had so many nice messages from people saying, you know, they've got the DVDs, they've got the CDs and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I never go to a car boot sale. You can buy six for 3 shillings.
No, these were all brought in legit, I can swear. Now, you're going to be performing at the Clisper Pavilion in Southend on the 9th of April.
Yeah.
We're going to put all the details up on the website, and if you want to find out more, it's allthews.jethro.co.uk.
One of my favourite theatres, that one.
Ah, are you sure? What's it look like from the outside?
And it's a good cup of tea at the front.
Yeah.
And you look out over the Thames there, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, look forward to seeing you on the 9th of April at the Clisp Pavilion. Thanks ever so much for taking the call. I know you've been rushing.
You've been a joy.
All right, you take care, my love. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye. Oh, that was fantastic. That was Jethro there. Oh, fantastic, nice man. Oh, he's lovely. Right, this is coming up to 12:27. I've gone really red. Oh, I forgot to tell him it's my birthday. Oh, I would have got him to sing. Never mind.